Blog Talk Radio.
All right, maybe the intro isn't going to work. Hold on, let's try this again. There we go.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to
The quality does not sound as good as it used to. It got deleted. We had it re-added. Sorry for the beginning of the show, everybody. I wasn't playing. I talked. Then the intro came through. Either way, like it says, welcome to Wager Vision on another fabulous hump day. About to talk about all kinds of NFL, NBA, NCAA football. Probably maybe even talk about a little bit about the playoff committee. And recap the week that was. If you have been listening the past 2 weeks, not humble brag, but I am on fire. So, you know, that probably means I'm due to have a bad week. So this might be the week to save me. But as always, Paul's not in this week, but Cam is. So as always, everybody, Cam, what's happening, bud?
What's going on, guys? Happy to be back. Love talking the NFL and college football and all that. Sports betting podcast. And, yeah, just happy to be back here on a Wednesday. And go ahead and follow me on Twitter if you want to see who I'm betting on. You want to hear my sports opinions on Twitter, at Cameron Covers. Boomer, how'd you do last week?
I did awesome. So if you've listened to the show or if you haven't, we give out 5 picks of the week, value from $500 on the way down to $100. I won every single bet last week but my $100 bet. Plus went 3-2 in my NFL picks, putting my grand total of our 2 weeks now up to $2,000. I'm up $2,000. Cameron, do you know how you did last week?
I did my own accounting this time. So last week I netted $400. 400 wager vision dollars, and then this past week I was down 100, so 300 up 300 on the year since we've been tracking this new system here. So
that is
not
correct.
A horrible week.
Exactly,
I would have liked to hit that Green Bay money line, and was kind of upset that they fumbled. I really thought that Aaron Rodgers was going to be able to cover that game for me, but it's all right. It is what it is. You can't hit those flyers every time.
Yeah, for sure. And Paul's not with us today, but he's, after the first week, he was negative $300. He is now negative $1,000. So hopefully you paid him if you listen to the show. Yeah, he lost.
Dipping into the college fund.
Yep, he lost on Bengals -4.5 over the Packers 56.5 because of the kneel down. Virginia Tech -3 and Vikes -1. He only won the Skins pick'em, and he used to hate the Skins. Now he's riding or dying with them. I think that was like 2 weeks in a row they covered for him, and it's pretty funny. But being down $1,000 is not funny. So hopefully, Paul listens to me and you this week and picks what he likes and gets the winners and gets that bankroll back up in real life. Hopefully.
Well, I know he claims he's on a trip on business, but it just seems like a coincidence that, you know, his worst week of the year, he happens to be off the show. He'll be back on an undisclosed week, but we'll welcome him back with open arms.
Well, of course, everybody loves a lovable loser, you know. So, as always, we will start off. You haven't even been doing the pick five anymore, have you?
No, I haven't. I've just been doing the wager vision 5 picks.
Yeah. So we might as well start off and go ahead and hit us with your $500 pretty much Cameron guarantee of the week. Who do you got for your $500 bet?
Yeah, I don't want to say it's a guarantee, but I have been hitting these $500 picks in the past few weeks. So I love another one this week. Staying in the NFL, I'm going Kansas City at Cleveland. Cleveland is +9 at home, but I'm more interested in the total here, Boomer, which is sitting at 51.5 right now. This is way too high. I'm all over the under 51.5 for a couple of reasons. First of all, I think the Browns offense is pretty mediocre. You know, checking out some of their stats, they're 29th in yards per play, 23rd in points per game. Baker Mayfield, he struggled versus Pittsburgh last week, just 180 yards passing. That's not going to get it done in today's NFL. And then also, they've got a new coach and offensive coordinator to install. Hugh Jackson is out. Everyone heard the news. Todd Haley is out too, which kind of shocked me because he's had quite a bit of success in the NFL. Both of those guys are sent packing. And so I think it's going to really impact their scoring this week with the rookie quarterback, the new fill-in at offensive coordinator and head coach. And then last point here, Tyreek Hill for Kansas City. I think he really makes their offense tick. He's week-to-week with a groin injury. I don't think he's going to play. I think Andy Reid is going to do the right thing and say, look, we're playing the Browns this week. We can probably win without him. They're gearing up for a deep playoff run, so I don't think he's going to play. For all those reasons, I love the under 51.5. This just seems way too high for a Cleveland Browns game.
Yeah, so for me, at the beginning of the year, I was kind of betting over-unders in the NFL. With all the offense and everything, I haven't been touching over-unders at all. Besides the Patriots versus Chiefs a while ago, I haven't been touching them because I just don't know what to do with any of these over-unders. So for me, the over-under, I wouldn't even know what to do. I think you are probably right because the only way that Cleveland's going to be able to move the ball with a defensive coordinator now as their head coach, offensive coordinator, I mean, obviously they're going to be trying to stick with the same system, but you're giving somebody the play calling for a team that's probably never called plays before. So you know they're going to run the ball a ton. The only way that there's going to be a lot of points then is if they break huge runs, against that Kansas City terrible defense. That's the only scary part is if the defense is really bad. I think Nick Chubb is a pretty decent running back, so he might be able to break some runs, but they also still have to punch it in the end zone. For me, I love Kansas City minus the 9, actually. It's not my $500 pick, but I just like it. I think I saw a stat the other day, the Browns, after firing their head coach, 2-9 against the spread all time. so it's kind of in your favor. So I just think the whole thing has turned into a disaster. The Browns all of a sudden went from being looking like they're having a decent season to now being the worst than the Raiders, which is hard to do. They did it in an instant, firing both of them and making all this drama when they're actually finally having an okay kind of season. They had a tough schedule and pulled out those two wins. But, yeah, so I'm not going to really argue against you. I just am kind of really off on over-unders in the NFL. That's kind of something I just don't touch anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. We all know scoring is way up in the NFL this year. I mean, I'm looking at some of these spreads this week. Some of these totals this week. The Bears-Bills game, which I've got another pick on later in the show. The total's 37.5. And look, I get it.
Yep.
Neither of those teams are, high-flying offenses, and you have some good defenses in that game too. But it's so easy with these penalties, defensive pass interference, all this to extend drives. And for teams, even with bad quarterbacks like the Bills, they're going to find a way to put up 17, 20, 21 points. And then all of a sudden you've got your over ticket cashing in. So I agree. It's very difficult, finding value on these totals, but I think I have one here. Last point on this game, just a general point on the Browns. Who could possibly accept a job there? I mean, every single season, it seems like they're completely cleaning house at head coach. And I know they were trying to be a little bit more patient with Hugh Jackson this time around. He got 2.5 seasons, but I mean, they draft a rookie quarterback who most people in Cleveland think is their guy. And, they're going to go ahead and grow as a system. And then they blow it up all of a sudden after they've had their most successful season under the Hugh Jackson era. So, it's shocking to me based on some of the things that I've read. I think there's a whole lot of drama and infighting between Haley and Jackson. So maybe it was a relationship that had to end at some point. I just think it's nuts. I mean, I don't know. I'm seeing Lincoln Riley's name being thrown around, but how could he possibly leave his cushy job in college to take this dumpster fire of an organization? So those are all my thoughts on this game. Anything else you have, or you can go ahead and move into your $500 pick.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know who they're going to get as a coach. Lincoln Riley already shot it down. I wouldn't want to move up to the Browns either. But it's all going to have to be based on if somebody really likes Baker Mayfield, I think, and whether they think they can win with them. Because their defense is great. It's just the rest of their whole franchise is a mess. But for my $500 bet, I'm starting off in the NFL as well. I'm taking a team that's red hot. I'm taking a team who just traded for a player who they're playing the same team. And I'm taking the Texans +1.5 against the Denver Broncos at home. Kind of at the point where they're like the Raiders, where they're like, you know what? I don't think that we're going to do anything, so let's not get a middle-of-the-round, first-round pick. They traded one of their best wide receivers. It obviously wasn't popular in the locker room. John Elway knows he needs probably a quarterback because I don't think Case Keenum is it. And he also needs a lot of other things to go well for him. So I think he wants a top first-round pick. He got an okay pick for Demaryius Thomas, who's had lots of drops lately. He started off really good, dropped a lot of balls, but he knows the whole game plan with the Broncos, and he's going to be playing on that team against them. So I think that's – I know it's not a huge advantage, but I think it's a slight advantage. And plus the Texans are rolling right now. They're feeling themselves. Their defense is starting to finally get better. They're not great yet, not as good as I thought they would be, but they're getting better. I think they continue to roll. I think they win this game outright, so I love the +1.5.
So did Thomas even have to get on a plane and move over to Houston yet, or did he just stay in Denver because he's got this game on Sunday?
No, I'm pretty sure he's flying to Houston and learned everything.
Yeah. No, I agree with your pick. I don't have any action on this game, but I would definitely lean towards the Texans. I think when we have these trade deadline transactions, to me, it's not so much losing a player; it's more like the signal that you're giving to your team. It really does feel like the Broncos are giving up here. They see the Chiefs, they see, the Patriots and, you know, other teams in the AFC. There's just not a whole lot of room for the Broncos to make the playoffs. And I think you're right. I think the verdict is out on Case Keenum. He's just not going to be able to elevate you to, you know, a contender status unless you have an amazing team around him like he had with the Vikings. So, yeah, I think it's a bad signal here for the Broncos. And then on the other hand, the Texans' leadership is showing you, hey, we're all in. We think we can still make a run at these playoffs here. Deshaun Watson appears to be getting a little bit healthier, getting more of his mobility back. And I don't have his stats in front of me, but last week he was highly efficient, completing a ton of passes, avoiding a lot of pressure.
Yeah, five touchdowns and only four completions.
Exactly. And his thing is always going to be about staying healthy and avoiding unnecessary hits, taking a page out of Russell Wilson's playbook. And he seemed to do that very well last week. So, yeah, I think the momentum is with Houston. I think they're the better team. And, you know, I'd be worried about betting on Denver at this point. So definitely agree with you there on Houston. Anything else on this game, or should I go ahead and move into the next round of picks?
Nope. Give us your 400.
All right, $400. You mentioned Paul was riding with Washington. I've got a pick in the Washington game as well. Going the other side, though. Atlanta at Washington. Atlanta's +1.5. I'm going to take the points here. I think Atlanta is the clear-cut pick in this game for a couple reasons. So the Falcons, they're off a bye, so they have more time to prep. I think they're looking at their record there. It's not great, but they're 3-4, and that makes them very much alive in the NFC playoff race. And then just kind of looking at their wins and losses to see how they're doing on the season, they have wins against the Giants, Bucks, and Panthers. And then their four losses, you know, they lost the opening Thursday night opener against Philadelphia. They lost in overtime to the Saints. They lost to the Bengals and the Steelers. None of those are bad losses. I mean, those are all highly competent teams that we're going to see in the playoffs. And so I think when you take into account all the injuries the Falcons have had, at 3-4, I think they're much better than their record, is what I'm trying to say. And, you know, Atlanta's weakness is in their secondary. I mentioned the injuries that they've been facing. But they actually have a good matchup here because Alex Smith has not been known for pushing the ball down the field. And if you watch the Redskins games like I have been week in and week out, even when they win, Alex Smith just does not look all that impressive. The Redskins are winning with the running game. They're winning on the back of Adrian Peterson. And so I think Atlanta's weakness in the secondary is not going to be a huge issue here. So, you know, as a Redskins fan, I'm happy they're 5-2. but I think they're much worse than the record, and I think Atlanta is much better. Give me the points with Atlanta, plus 1.5, $400.
Man, one thing, even though I did it last week and it worked out, but it almost didn't, I always hate betting against my team, especially if they're on a good record. And I know you're a Redskins fan. So I hate it because it always backfires on me. Like, normally when I bet against my team, they'll end up covering, and it pisses you off because, you know, it's not what should happen. But I was actually looking at this game for a while, and I really couldn't decide. I think that at home, Washington is pretty good. I think Atlanta is better than what their record states. I think they are just like Indy. Indy, I think they're better than what their record states. The problem is that their defense is just so bad right now, that at home, and I get what you're saying, they don't look that impressive, but for some reason, Alex Smith always gets it done. Like, I don't know what it is. He never does anything that makes you go, wow, or how did he do that? But for some reason, he's always winning, and I don't get it. So for me, the game kind of scares me that I couldn't take it at all. But if I was going to take it, I was leaning your way. But the Redskins scared me enough that I couldn't do it, so I was out on that game.
Well, depending on how you look at it, when you're betting against your own team, it's either a win-win or a lose-lose. I mean, if you're betting against them and they end up winning the game, I mean, you're happy about that. You'd rather win money.
Yeah.
So, you know, your point on Alex Smith, I think you're right. As long as they stay on schedule with the running game, they're fine. But when they fall behind, like the game against the Saints, when they fall behind and they have to abandon the running game and they find themselves in second and long, third and long situations, it's a disaster. And the Redskins got blown out in that game versus the Saints. They lost by like 21 points, and it looked even, more of a beatdown than that.
Yeah, but I mean, that was an emotional night with Drew Brees setting a record and stuff. You know, that was more than just on the field kind of stuff. Sometimes you just can't get out of the way of destiny. You know, you're just going to get rolled no matter what. And that stuff just kind of happens. So I didn't really take that loss as that big of a deal, actually.
No, I understand. But, I mean, even some of their other wins, like against the Giants or the Cowboys, they won. They only put up about 20 points in those games. So now all of a sudden you have to face a high-octane offense with Atlanta. And so I would like
Cowboys
my chances.
Yeah, the Cowboys have the third best D in the NFL.
Okay. I mean, what about the Giants, though? I mean, the Giants are turning the football over, so whenever you play them, you have more time of possession and all that, too. So, I mean, we can nitpick any game but I think all –
Yeah.
All right, then I'll just let that one ring and let you move on to your $400.
But you got to like that AP signing, though.
He's been good. What was that?
Said you got to like the AP signing. He's been good for you guys.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's resurrected his career. And I was kind of worried because early on he was – you know, there was a story out that he said he wanted to play for Minnesota again because – you know, their team looks awesome. And so that kind of worried me. But
I never
saw
that anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it was in the local newspaper, which it kind of worried me because, you know, Jay Gruden's not the kind of coach who can really manage a lot of drama. But I think as long as he's getting his carries, he's a running back who needs to be getting like 18 to 25 carries. You can't really spell him and expect him to be productive. But as long as you give him the carries, I think – he's having a hell of a season, so definitely happy about that.
All right. So for me, I'm moving to the college football world here with my $400 pick, and I am going with Ohio State -17.5 at home versus Nebraska. Nebraska is god-awful. They finally just got their first two wins of the year the past two games. One, they just played Bethune-Cookman, who is awful. They ran the score up on them, but nobody even knows where Bethune-Cookman is. They're going into Ohio State, who needs to win by a ton now and prove that their whole team isn't falling apart as media keeps reporting. I don't know what's with media these days, but, man, they really like to dig up some BS stories to make people look bad in all sports, and I think it's getting kind of old. I think, not to bring in politics or anything, but Trump was starting this whole thing with, like, fake news. It's, like, made media go even more extreme, like, to things that you're like, why are you even doing this? So, you know, there's all these reports about Ohio State. I think Ohio State's fine. they're going to still only have one loss. It's going to come down to them and Michigan for the Big Ten championship, who will probably ultimately go to the playoff. Nebraska's terrible. They have no defense. The over in this game might be in play, too, at like 71.5. I'm just not going to touch that. I think Ohio State trounces them. I think Ohio State wins like 52 to like 13. I think it's just a blowout. I think it's a statement game for Ohio State, and that's why I got them minus 17.5 at 400. They bet it early.
Speaking of the
line's going to go up.
Speaking of the media digging up, you know, strange details on one's personal life. What's up with these headaches? I mean, is that something that's going on with Urban Meyer throughout games, or is he sticking that out there as an excuse for some of his transgressions the past few weeks?
No, so this has been going on for a long time.
Yeah.
He did have surgery on his brain. It does take medication for this same reason. I don't know what exactly. He says he wants to keep coaching. I guess last time they played, he like fell on the ground on the sidelines with like one. So that was kind of a story. People didn't know what was going on. So he kind of addressed it, said he still wants to play, letting everybody know, I got these headaches. It hurts really bad, but I want to continue to coach this team for now and into the future, because I think otherwise he was going to have to deal with more stupid reports that are just like false narratives of opinion pieces, really.
Right. All right, well, sounds like a good pick. Can't say I have a whole lot to say in the game. So what was your opinion on the total? You mentioned the total. You got the over or the under?
Probably the 71.5. I haven't bet it yet, but I probably will, because Nebraska gives up a ton of points. It's just whether Nebraska can score on Ohio State. So that's why I like the 17.5 more than the over-under, because 71.5 is a lot if the other team's not going to score. I'd play the 17.5, and I get it in before it chops up a lot.
Right. Or maybe that's a game where you look at the team total Nebraska under if your book offers it.
Yeah,
good stuff, man. I'll move on to my $300 pick here, just rolling through these. Back to the NFL for me. I'm looking at the Chicago-Buffalo game, and Buffalo's plus 10 at home. Crazy amount of points to get as the home team. The total is a 37.5. That's the lowest I've ever seen in my NFL handicapping career, for sure. I'm taking Buffalo plus 10. I think it's because I'm sick, and I love taking just horribly ugly underdogs in the NFL and hoping that they cash. I took Buffalo. I wanted to take Buffalo plus 17 versus the Vikings earlier in the year, and I put a poll out on Twitter, and everyone told me I was insane. I should have told them to go screw themselves, because not only did Buffalo win the game, but they blew out the Vikings and covered the spread. But I like Buffalo here. I'm looking at Chicago, and I think laying 10 with Mitch Trubisky's, you know, cupcake offense on the road is almost criminal. Buffalo has a sneaky good home field advantage, and I just think that a young quarterback like Trubisky, who he needs his hand held on offense, we all know it. Matt Nagy is scripting plays for him, because that's, you know, really the only effective way that he can stretch the ball down the field. I don't like laying a bunch of points with bad quarterbacks on the road. And then I also think there's value on Buffalo, because last week versus New England, they played a pretty damn tight game. I mean, if you look at the box score, it doesn't look that way, but I think it was a little misleading with the pick six and all that. That game was very close. Any New England better knew it. They were sweating that game out until the final few minutes. So Buffalo's defense, underrated. They're fifth in the league, depending on which stats you like to look at. I'm worried about who's going to start at quarterback. We think it's going to be Nate Peterman. Honestly, I think that would be an upgrade over the stiff they put out there last week. I just think this is way too many points at home. When the total is 37.5 and you're starting the game with almost a third of the points in your pocket, I'm on Buffalo plus 10. I know you're going to say I'm crazy. I know if the game ends up losing, which I don't think it will, I'll probably hear about it on Twitter. I'm okay with it. I'm rolling with Buffalo. They're going to circle the wagons this weekend.
No, I don't think you're crazy. I agree. I think Mitchell Trubisky sucks. I think he's awful. And people keep trying to tell me he's a good quarterback, and I've tried to tell them the same thing. I'm like, just because he's putting up numbers right now doesn't make him good. He's only good with the scripted plays that Matt Nagy makes for him. And anytime after that, for him making any kind of good plays, he's throwing check down behind the line of scrimmage, and his running backs are making the plays. It isn't because of Mitchell Trubisky. He has, like, one of the highest yard after catches for receivers where they catch the ball and run forever. That helps his yard. Like, he has one of the highest in the NFL, which means, you know, he's just checking down to people making plays for him. I agree. I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is good. Buffalo is a tough place to play. We saw it just this last weekend, Monday night with the Patriots. Their defense is good, so that's always a dagger. You're 37.5. I've seen it lower than that. I know I have.
I think it's going down. I think it opened up about 38, and it's going down.
No, I mean, like, I've seen a lower handicap game. I think in one of the snow games a couple years ago, I think it was down to, like, 34.
Oh, gotcha.
But I mean, yeah, in the 30s is low, no matter what. I can't touch that because I really don't know. But I would trust Buffalo plus 10 more than I would trust anything on that over-under in that game. So, my 300.
Who knows?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, who knows? You know, we have all these great predictions on the game. I've got the Bills plus 10 in my pocket. It probably ends. The game probably ends 12-0, and I go, well, I don't know what the hell to do with the NFL anymore.
I think they might win outright, personally.
I would love to see it.
Anderson,
all right, go ahead.
I think Anderson is still better than Peterman. Peterman is terrible, dude.
Look, I'm never going to defend Nathan Peterman as even a viable starting quarterback. But Anderson, I mean, he was bagging groceries a few weeks ago. I think we can both agree. If you've got either of these guys on your team, you've got a big problem, but we're going to have to disagree on the backup quarterback.
And that's what should have happened. So my $300 bet, another living in the college world again, reminiscing, but biggest game of the weekend, almost NFL and college. Bigger game might be Packers, Patriots, just because it's the NFL, but this might be the actual biggest game of the weekend. Bama versus LSU. For me, Bama is – I bet it early. I already bet it because I think it's going to go up. I bet them at minus 14. I think Bama should be a 14-point favorite versus anybody in the country. I think they, on their worst day, are a 14-point favorite compared to anybody else in the college football right now. Even when it comes to the playoffs, they are just head and shoulders above everybody. They're averaging 32 to 42 points a game. There's no way LSU could ever keep up on that pace with their offense. And I even if – LSU held them to their worst game. I think Tua is still scoring at least 28 points. So for me, I think Bama kicks the crap out of LSU and covers the 14. Tua is too good. Might be the first game he gets to play the whole game just to really stick it to everybody. But Bama minus 14, I like it. I might end up taking the over, but right now I really like Bama minus 14.
I don't know what to do with this game other than tune in and watch it because I think it's going to be damn entertaining. All I know is that Alabama has dominated LSU the past couple of games. I mean, they're dominating everyone in college football. Let's be clear about that. So I wouldn't have any opinion on this game as far as the side is concerned. Any thoughts on the total? I mean, I know that Alabama's got this electric offense with Tua and everything. Is there any value on the under? I mean, are they going to be able to shut out? Are they going to be able to slow down LSU's offense in this game?
Do you have the over under in front of you right now? Because I didn't write down. I don't remember what it is.
53.5.
All right. So I think Bama's defense isn't as good as it has been in the past. But I also think that it doesn't look as good because their offense scores so quick and their defense doesn't get time to rest. So teams have scored a little bit on Bama this year. I think LSU probably scores a little bit. I honestly think Bama could blow them out big time. Any garbage points could put it over. But, you know, it's also in Death Valley and crazier shit has happened. But if you're riding with the minus 14, I think you could probably ride with the over as well.
Yeah, I think usually when the favorite covers, the over cashes its ticket as well. But I can't wait to watch this game. I think it's going to be fantastic. One of the few games in college that I'm going to tune in for.
This weekend has some good ones. All right. You got Penn State, Michigan, them. There's one other one, but I can't remember. But go ahead. We only have about 15 minutes left, so go ahead. Shoot us with your $200 bet.
All right, $200 wager vision dollars. I'm going back to the NFL. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. This game is always 3. The home team is always favored by 3, and Baltimore is, in fact, a 3-point home favorite here. 47.5 is the over-under. I'm actually going to roll with the road team. I'm going to take Pittsburgh plus the points. I think in a series like this where it's always a close game, something like 13 of the last 21 matchups between these two teams have ended with the margin of victory being 3 or less. So I think you always have to look to take points here. And, you know, this is one of the first revenge games that we're seeing in the NFL as these division rivals start to play each other for a second time. So when these teams last met in September, the Steelers lost the game 26-14. But I think that was when Pittsburgh was still kind of in a funk with the Le'Veon Bell situation. I think they're out of it. I think they've been able to put the drama behind them. James Conner has been legit. He's been carrying the running back load pretty much as well as you could expect Le'Veon Bell to. So no issues there. And then looking at the games that the Steelers have played in since that loss, well, they blow out Atlanta, pretty good team. They travel to Cincinnati and win. That's a pretty good win. And then they blow out Cleveland. So the Steelers have been on fire. On the road, too, in the last 9 road games, the Steelers are 8-0-1, which shocked me because I always took them for a team that played better at home with that energy at Heinz Field. But they've been a very good road team recently. You also look at the weather. It's going to be sunny, 55, no wind. I think that favors Pittsburgh and their favorable passing attack. And then also the stats, they're on my side here. Pittsburgh is 6th in the NFL in yards per play. Baltimore, 27th. Not going to get the job done there. I still think Baltimore's an elite team. You know, I've been, backing them all year, making money with them. But I think in this spot, this rivalry game, you have to be looking to take the points. Give me Pittsburgh plus 3. I think they're going to win outright, too.
Yeah, for me, I don't know. Anytime these two play, I always just consider this stay-away game because they're both just crazy against each other. I don't know what it is. They bring out the worst/best in each other, I guess is what you call it. And I never know which way to go with this game. I really don't. I've never been able to get this game right. So for me, I can't bet on it at all because it's just, I don't know what it is about the game. I can't figure it out who's going to do what when they do it. I would agree. I think Pittsburgh's the better team, and they already lost, so they deserve to bounce back, and they need it. They need to win. So I would agree with you, but it's a complete stay-away game, and I just couldn't even get in on it.
All right, fair enough. What do you got for 200?
So for me, going to the NFL, I was going to do a basketball game, but I realized last week doing the podcast that we gave out bets that were kind of happening, and that's not really fair if people actually want to fade us or follow us. They can't bet it. We're just at that point, we're just kind of self-indulging in our gambling. We're not really helping anybody who listens. So I stayed away. I was going to bet the over of Golden State versus the Pelicans, but I didn't because the game was already going to start, and I figured that's just not really fair, even though I bet it for real life. And I also bet earlier in the Toledo game, which cover too. But that over is looking awesome. They're already over 100 points. There's like 7 minutes left in the first or second quarter.
Crazy.
For me, back to the NFL, and I am taking the Chargers plus 2.5. I just think that they're a really good team. I don't think that they should be dogs, but they are. And they're coming off a bye. I think Melvin Gordon will be back, which makes them very dynamic. They have great passing threats in their receiving game, plus a great running back. I think they're going to be hard to stop. So for me, I'm riding with the Chargers plus 2.5.
Yeah, I can't really bet this game because I think anytime Seattle's at home and they're not laying a whole bunch of points, that's always where I'm going to start. But the Chargers are having a damn good season. Phillip Rivers having a career year. He's got like 16 touchdown passes. He's on fire right now. So I certainly can't blame you for backing the Chargers here. And, I think a lot of these games where the spread is around 4 or less, you're more or less picking who's going to win the game. And these are two teams that I just don't have a great feel for. I don't think there's a whole lot of advantage in a particular spot here being, three straight road games or after a bye. There's nothing like that going on here. So more of a coin flip for me. And for those reasons, I would stay off. But can't blame you. The Chargers look damn good so far this year. How are you on
for
them
sure.
as far as competing in the AFC? You think they're legit?
Oh, yeah. I think the AFC, the playoffs, I think it's going to have a lot of really good teams. Normally, the NFC is the powerhouse when it comes to the playoffs. This year, you know, you see the NFC East is down. The NFC South is good. The NFC North isn't very good. And then you got the Rams. I think this year the AFC is the power side. I think the Chargers are great. I think that the Patriots are the Patriots. So, you know, you got that. You got the Chiefs. You got Pittsburgh or Baltimore. Like, I think there's a whole lot of good teams. I mean, Texans are on fire right now. I think there's a lot of good teams in the AFC this year. I think it's going to make for a really interesting playoff. I think it might be finally, for once, maybe the Patriots don't make it to the AFC Championship, because I think things could get real interesting this year. So I think the Chargers have just as good a chance as anybody else in the AFC right now.
Yeah, I think you're right, because, you know, the past few years we've seen the NFC being the better of the two conferences. But outside of the Rams, I think every good team in the NFC is vulnerable. I mean, the Vikings with their defensive issues and Kirk Cousins turning the ball over. The Packers, their roster is crap outside of Aaron Rodgers. You know, even teams like the Panthers and Saints, you don't have a whole lot of confidence in those kinds of teams week in and week out. So I think you're absolutely right. Very excited for the NFL playoffs to be coming up, and I think the AFC is going to send a lot of good teams. So should I go ahead and give out my last wager?
Correct. Let's get this sucker rolling.
All right, let's wrap it up with this $100 pick. You know, I like to make these bets that don't cash for a couple of months here. So I'm going to go into the futures market here. I saw this on Bovada. I think there's a ton of value on this pick here. Philadelphia Eagles to win the NFC. You're getting plus 150. I think there's a ton of value here. I really don't get it. I mean, I understand that the Redskins are a game up, which is why their odds are a little bit shorter on this wager. But I think it's so obvious that the Eagles are a better team, and all of a sudden Carson Wentz is starting to get healthy a little bit, or he's starting to, you know, get back to being 100%. I think most of this is because the Eagles started out slow to the year, but they're only a game back from the Redskins, as I mentioned. And, you know, we mentioned some of the trades for wide receivers earlier in the show. Well, the Eagles made a trade of their own for Golden Tate. He's a legit number one wide receiver. I mean, he's going to close in on a 1,000-yard receiving season again. I think they make the Eagles all that – he makes the Eagles all that much more deadly compared – you know, pairing him with Carson Wentz and his big arm. I love the Eagles, and I love their mentality, the fact that they're going to go for it again. They see that their window is wide open right now with a great young quarterback and a pretty damn good roster and coach. I think there's a ton of value here on the Eagles to win the NFC East at plus 150, although going to have to stick around to grade it. So it gives you a good reason to continue watching the show.
This is true. And once again, he is betting against his favorite team. HTTR, baby. You're getting no respect by your own fan base.
Hey, it's the only way I stay sane, because if I go all in on them every single season, most of the time I get crushed. So at least this way I can win some wagers and then be pleasantly surprised if the Redskins come through.
This is true, and I actually agree with you. I think even though the Eagles, I knew they weren't going to be as good again this year, they were too cocky, but they're due to start rolling, you would think now. You would think they got a little reality check. I think somehow they pulled out and ended up winning the NFC East as well. So I like the value bet on that. For me, I'm going to do a parlay here, a 3-team parlay for 5 times the money. And I got a little mix of NFL and college. I was trying to find a prop bet, but I couldn't find any, like, tomorrow night prop bets or this weekend prop bets on points scored by people. Like, 2 nights ago, I bet last night, I bet Russell Westbrook to score over 26.5 points, scoring the 30s. Easy winner. But then I also had Jason Tatum over 17.5, and I think he ended up at 16, so I kind of washed there. I kind of like taking those bets. I think it's almost funner than betting the NBA. Because I don't pay attention to the NBA that much. But there wasn't any for value that I liked tonight, and I couldn't find any for the future, so I went with parlay here. Because I'm trying to mix up all the sports, because I get all people like to gamble. Trying to get up, you know, touch the whole realm of sports gambling right now. Once college basketball starts, I'll get some of that in here too. But for my parlay, starting off here, Chiefs minus 9 against the Browns, as we talked earlier. Then I have Michigan State minus 2.5. And finally, my last one is over of Clemson, 61 points. Clemson is playing a team who gives up on average 42 points. And Clemson averages in their last three games right around 42 points. So you know that in all is probably going to be terrible for them, for the team that they're playing. They're probably going to put up about 50-something themselves. And easily cover the over-under. And Michigan State is coming off of a decent win, and I think they keep it going because they're trying to look to get back in the top 25 and prove something, especially with the playoffs. They're playing Maryland, who's coming off a huge controversy with this whole hiring DJ Durkin back, then firing him. So you know that whole place is on disarray. They don't know what's going on. So for me, I think Maryland doesn't even show up for this game, and I have a feeling that Michigan State just rolls right through them. And so that's $100.
Love the parlay.
Be to win 500. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, and to your point, as we start seeing more NBA games being played, I will absolutely be betting more in the NBA. I did fairly well last year in the association. I like to sit back the first couple of weeks and see what the hell is going on. And see which teams emerge. But, yeah, basketball is my favorite sport. I just so happen to like the NFL as a league more. But I will be providing more NBA picks in the coming few weeks. So, excited about that.
Yeah, another note on that parlay. Clemson's a 38.5-point favorite. So, if they even cover, you know that this game's probably for sure going over.
right.
But, yeah, I can't wait for college basketball to start. I enjoy it. I'm not diehard, like I don't watch it like I do football, but if there's a good game on throughout the week, I'm going to watch it. I enjoy watching sports more than regular television. So, of course, the only problem with my site that I do, it's hard to find like future days in advance lines in the NBA because so many teams are already playing, they don't put lines out for them. And that's why it's hard to sometimes put these bets in here when we do this podcast because they don't do it like the NFL where you have days to talk about it. And like I said earlier, I don't want to be making bets that nobody can even take part in. It's just self-fulfilling pretty much. But other than that, you got anything else for us?
I think that is definitely one of the issues with doing a show about sports betting and the NBA. One thing that we could do is just say like, hey, I like the Wizards as long as, you know, the point spread is 9 points or less, something like that. But yeah, just a quick technical note. I got nothing else. Can't wait for this weekend. Should be a hell of a weekend in the NFL and a few good college games, as you mentioned. So I'll definitely be watching that Alabama-LSU game, what goes down. But other than that, no, I mean, enjoy the rest of your week, man.
Yeah, and for anybody who's listening, you want to find out more, go to prosportsextra.com. I have my ongoing top 25 in college football, and the playoff committee came out with their selections. I think that their 21 through 25 are just mostly completely bogus. I think they did a really poor job, and I think the committee always does a poor job. I think it's a very biased committee. I don't think it's fair to a lot of teams. But anyways, also this weekend is the Breeders' Cup. I'm probably going to go to Omaha, bet on a bunch of Breeder Cup races. If anybody's into horse racing, going to be doing that. I'll probably snap some tickets of what I won or lost, and I'll be out with my dad and a couple buddies having a good time doing that. Also watching Michigan, Penn State, and LSU, Alabama. Can't wait. Go to ForSportsExtra.com. Listen to Wager Vision. And we're going to try and get Cam on We The Fans podcast. You can search that on iTunes or on YouTube, and you can kind of see us interact with each other because we have a YouTube channel. So look forward to that in the future, and thank you, everybody, for listening to Wager Vision. We'll see you in the future. Peace, Cam.
All right, be good. See you later.
All right.